Do you know the children's finger exercise about the church and the steeple and all the people? Can you do that with me? Point your fingers down and lock your knuckles together and then do this. Point your fingers up and then bring it back and turn your fingers so they point upwards. And it goes like this. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. Well, if Jesus were going to put a different spin on it, he might say something like, this is the church and this is the steeple. Open the door and see the light of all of the people. Here are the actual words of Jesus. They're in Luke 11, verses 33 to 36. If you want to follow along in the Blue Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 1615. And here's what Jesus said. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. Now, since Jesus spoke these words, all kinds of changes have taken, especially in our modern era. But one thing hasn't much changed, and that is the necessity and the importance of light. Twice in the last couple of weeks, the power has gone off here in the Wooddale Church building. The first time was on a Saturday night, fortunately right after the Saturday evening service. And we called NSP. They had no idea what had caused it or how long it would take, and we were scrambling to figure out what needed to be done in anticipation of Sunday morning. We have rooms in this facility where there are no windows and we're dependent upon electric lighting. We wondered, could we have services and Sunday school, and would you be able to hear without a public address system? All of those things. And then, this past Monday, it happened again, late Monday morning. This entire area of the metro complex went out. Power was lost. We have hundreds of children in our preschool. We had a funeral coming up in just a couple of hours. There were staff members who were sort of standing around in the hallway with flashlights trying to figure out what to do. And it sort of seemed like a preview of the worst case of what's going to happen on January 1 in the year 2000. Sort of the Y2K has arrived early. And I took a certain level of comfort in the assurances that come from the power producers that we will have light and heat, that we will have electricity, especially here in Minnesota, in January of the year next. Because it's hard to imagine what life would be like without light. But Jesus does ask us to imagine just that, a dark house where the owner lights a lamp and then carefully covers it up to make sure that none of the light gets out, that it's all completely hidden. That would be today like covering the hallway emergency lights through a public building. It would be like painting black all of the light bulbs in a home or some business. What would be the point of shrouding out all of the light that you need? Why would anybody do that anyway? Which is exactly Jesus' point. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't talking primarily about light bulbs or candles or lamps. He was talking about Christians. He was talking about his light, his truth, shining inside of us and then outside of us. Now, for some, that's not too comfortable concept, because we're afraid of where that's going to go. We think that maybe where that's going to go is that we should be aggressively talking to other people about Christian faith and inviting them to convert. And we say, I'm not quite sure that I could do that. Besides, you know, I'm kind of a reserved person, and it doesn't seem right to me to impose your religious beliefs on someone else. And while there's validity to a lot of those things, we need to be very cautious here. Cautious that we're not taking these kinds of statements and making them into excuses that are shaped like bowls that are put over the light of Jesus Christ so that it is hidden from the world that is all around us. Certainly Jesus understands and allows for individual expression. We're not all the same. Our lights are not the same kind of lights. They do not shine in precisely the same manner. There are some who are candles. There are some who are floodlights. There are some that are spotlights. There are some that are like headlights. There are some that are Christmas lights. They only shine once a year. There are some people who are, the list goes on. The point that Jesus is making is, let his light shine. Don't hide it. Don't put it out. Don't put it in a corner. Don't cover it up with something else. Live out your faith. Shine the light of Jesus Christ into the darkness that is all around. What would that be like? What would a person do? It was a year ago this month that we had as a guest here at Wooddale Church, Steve Shogren from Cincinnati, Ohio. And because he was in town, we invited him to a gathering on a Sunday evening, and several hundred people heard him talk in the great room. He is from a church that's called the Vineyard Christian Fellowship in Cincinnati, which is well known for people letting their light shine through acts of kindness. In fact, you may recall that a lady from the church made the national news a few Christmases ago when, in the name of Jesus Christ, she put quarters in expired parking meters in downtown Cincinnati, which turns out to be an illegal shining of your Christian light in the city of Cincinnati, and she was arrested. Well, Steve told some of his own stories. One of the things he does is, as he travels about the country, he always takes with him toilet cleaning equipment. And what he does is has his own private kit that includes rubber gloves and brushes and cleanser and disinfectant. And when he drives a car into a truck stop or a convenience store to get gasoline and goes in to pay, he offers to clean the toilets in that establishment in the name of Jesus Christ. He says that you don't need to have a prepared witness. You don't have to write anything out. All you need to do is go in the bathroom, get down on the floor, and start cleaning the toilet. And he said, all the customers, all the employees, they all come to watch, and they all ask you questions. Like, why are you doing this? Why would you do such a thing? And that they more or less pump the gospel out of you. You can be reluctant, but they will drag this information out of you. Well, then he was telling a story about traveling through South Texas. And he went into a truck stop, paying for the gas, and talked to this man who was the owner and the manager. He was an immigrant to the United States from the country of India and presumably a Hindu in religious background. And Steve said, I'd like to clean your toilets in the name of Jesus Christ. And this man said, we have 20 toilets, which was more than Steve anticipated that they would have. And Steve said, I was thinking, I'd be glad to clean a couple of them for you. And the man said, I have 20 toilets here. And Steve said, four? And the man, and he wasn't joking, he was serious. He said, it's 20 or nothing. Steve said, I'd be glad to clean 20 toilets for you. And the owner said, I've only got two, but I just wanted to find out what kind of a Christian you are. Steve Shogren let his light brightly shine for Jesus Christ. Or come closer to home. Dave Axelson is a Wooddaler who recently took an early retirement from Cargill and moved to a new job in the western slope of Colorado. 3 days before his retirement party at Cargill, he received a letter from a woman here in Minnesota whose husband also works at Cargill. With permission from Dave, listen to her letter. She writes that for the 3 years that we've lived here in Minneapolis, I'd always thought David was on the interview team that hired my husband into Cargill. Then the other day, my husband clarified for me that instead, David had interviewed him for a position in Louisiana after we had been with Cargill for a few years. He told me that he had mentioned to David that our marriage was falling apart and wasn't sure that I would move with him. I'm not sure what David's exact words were, but he basically told my husband that though he really wanted him to come to the job in Louisiana, my husband needed to stay where he was and work out the marriage relationship first. The outcome? Within 4 months, we started to get things together, including my husband starting to attend church. He soon became a Christian there and 3 months later was baptized. We've been married nearly 12 years now, and divorce is no longer an option for us. My husband was right, right that I would not have moved to Louisiana with him. We had too much to work through first. My husband has always had a tone of awe and respect when he reflects on what David said and that he cared more about a marriage than filling a job opening. So thank you, David, for your wisdom and insight in that situation many years ago. Dave Axelson, let his light brightly shine for Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a Christian, if the light of Jesus Christ is inside of you, let it shine. Let it out. Let it be seen. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it in a corner. Don't restrict other people's being illumined. Do what Jesus would do. Say what Jesus would say. And let other people know that you're a Christian. But Jesus realized that the reason that some people don't brightly shine is not because they're hiding their lights under a bowl, but somehow they are not fully lit. So Jesus said, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light, but when they are bad, your body is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." Now, Jesus here is somewhat switching his analogy. And he's saying that the entire body, every part of the body, needs to be able to see and needs light to be able to see. But there's only one way, only one gate through which that light comes, and that is our eyes. So the way our feet can see where to walk is that they see through the light of the eyes. The way our hands know what to touch and how to handle things is that our eyes allow our hands to be able to see. The way our mouths can see what to eat and not to put your tongue on a frozen pump handle and all of those things. The way our mouths can see is through the eyes. So the eyes are critically important for lighting the entire body. Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of your body. But if the eyes are bad, if the light can't get into your life, if it's somehow restricted, then your whole body is full of darkness. So he's saying that those who let the light of Jesus into their lives will have their whole lives lighted. But those who restrict or keep the light of Jesus out of their lives, then all of life will be darkened. That affects everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go. So Jesus says, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Let that light just come everywhere inside of you. For some years, I made my living by repairing furnaces. So I lived in a world of oil burners and gas burners, of orifices changing between LP gas and natural gas. In terms of everyday occurrences, I was concerned about thermocouples and thermostats and upper limit switches and lower limit switches, and had my own truck and all my own tools and drove thousands of miles repairing furnaces in people's homes throughout the state of Illinois. One of the things that I quickly figured out is that the typical place to start if a furnace isn't working is with the pilot light. So you go into a home and you take the cover off the front of the furnace and look to see if the pilot light is lit, and if it's not, to get working on that. So I have struck tens of thousands of matches trying to get pilot lights to light. Typically, the pilot light is far enough in the furnace and the match is short enough that you can't reach it, so you have to use needle-nose pliers or a special wire or a stick with tape on the end or whatever. And in order to do this, to get it going, there's a button to push. Sometimes it's the switch and sometimes it's a separate red button, and you hold that down to bypass the thermocouple and you put the flame in there and this little pilot light goes, and it's a very nice experience. It just really is. And I'm telling you more than you want to know about all this, aren't I? Well, anyway, just hang in there with me. Then you have to keep the switch held down for a minute so that you complete the circuit, and then you sort of gingerly let it up with the hope that the pilot light won't go out, and you are very pleased when you can let go of that button and the pilot light stays on. Next, you turn the switch from where it says pilot to where it says on in order to ignite the main burner. Now, in some furnaces, there's actually a glass inspection hole where you can watch that burner come on, but you don't need that. You can feel it. You can sense it. It's wonderful. This is a wonderful feeling as the burner comes on and that heat exchanger just becomes literally a furnace of flames. And you know that you are only minutes away to the whole house then being warmed. And I think that that is the type of thing that Jesus is talking about when he says, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted. That's what Jesus wants. He wants the main burner of our lives to be sparked by him, to be full of flames, bright light, no parts excluded, nothing omitted, everything. Everything, our hearts and souls and minds and bodies, our thoughts and our actions and our dreams and our plans and our relationships at school and at home and at work and everywhere we go, to be fully consumed by the light, the flame, the brightness of Jesus Christ. But then I wonder what Jesus had in mind when he specially emphasized, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark. He seems to talk almost as if some areas of life could be compartmentalized, that his light could be excluded from a certain piece of who we are and what we are all about. It makes me ask about me. It makes me wonder if there are parts of me that are illumined and other parts of me that are darkened. Or what about you? If, for example, you were to think of everything you do and everything that your life is about, where does Jesus Christ most brightly shine? Where is the flame the hottest? Where, if a coworker or a friend were questioned about you, would that person say, that's where she is a Christian? Those are the half dozen areas where it is obvious that he has Jesus Christ burning within it. But the rest of the question is, what are those areas where there is no light, where Jesus Christ is excluded, where the compartment is closed almost as if there are fire doors that are in place and then somehow are bolted closed? Or if there are areas of our lives that are doused down with water to make sure that they never ignite with the presence and the power of Jesus Christ, that he from those is excluded and there is darkness. You see, here's the challenge of Jesus. The challenge of Jesus is to invite his fire to light all of our lives, to choose to be 100% illumined, 100% ignited for him, to open the fire doors, to let the flame spread, to hold nothing back. That's what he expects. He says, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted. Probably you know the little children's song that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. It even has a gesture that goes with it where you hold up a finger and say, this little light of mine. Now, there are a lot of extra verses that people have sort of made up through the years, and different people know different versions. But there is one that comes specifically out of this teaching of Jesus. It asks a question and then answers it. It goes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Do you think it would be possible to take a children's rhyme and turn it into our response and commitment to Jesus Christ? Jesus who invites us to be ignited with him 100% everywhere and to say, yes, I will let the light of Jesus Christ be my light and shine it in me. I will not hide it. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I invite you to sing it with me and make it your commitment.